Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:01 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSalve, and Vaughn with you. Well, hello again, everybody.
Well, hello, Tim. Hello, and welcome to a new year of broadcasting.
And Doug, good to have you guys back. I was lost without you two.
It was 10 years ago this evening, the cat that I met with the program director of KFNS, who informed me that you were getting a new kitchen in a roundabout way. He didn't say it that way.
It was a bathroom, but, Tim, let's be fair.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And really, that meeting led, Doug, to you being here. And so, therefore, this isn't the 10th anniversary of our birthday, but it's the 10th anniversary of our conception.
Oh, I see. All right.
And by the way, when
remember me banging clear, you?
When it was clear that Martin was leaving the show, and Tim and I were like, what are we going to do? We both said the same name, Doug Vaughn.
Well, we did 2 months of auditions, quote unquote. But I mean, we didn't realize somebody had already been hired. But
when we spoke about it, right, we both came up with the same name right off the, right out of the shoot.
And so the job went to Bob Fesco.
Right.
Well, back then Tim did not run the station.
Oh.
But,
well,
ideally, you alienate a key part of your show to the point where he quits, and then hold 2 months of auditions, and then hire somebody from another market who your host has never met. That's kind of the way you want to try to do it, ideally.
Well, is it possible?
Get over it!
Okay, Fesky.
What the hell can we do in this world to have fun? Nothing! Because you're out there saying everything we say is wrong! Tired of it.
All right, Fesky.
It's a new year. Let's try to be positive.
Doug,
is it possible that the auditions were merely a way to fill the show and not have to pay anyone for 2 months to save that salary? It's
probably a tight read, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It was a ruse. I like to call it a ruse.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's kind of what happens now. A lot of times they don't replace people for a long time and save all that salary that they would have paid and catch up on the budget.
You taking a shot at local news out of nowhere?
Well, no, I think that happens in businesses all over the place.
Here on this program, boy, we don't take shortcuts. We even started at 7:01 today. And we welcome our audience here in the new year to get involved on the appliance discounter phone lines at 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. That's how you can call in. That's how you can text in. The appliance discounters with us once again in 2017, as are like all of our sponsors. Doug, the retention rate of the sponsors of this program, we just tip our cap. And you know why? Because the listeners make the whole thing possible. Uh-huh. Buy local and help the St. Louis economy. Appliances Counters is the largest locally owned appliance company in the area with 6 great showrooms. Appliances Counters have reduced the price on every appliance in their stores. It doesn't matter what kind of sale the competition's offering. Appliances Counters is always lower. Plus, unlike the big box stores, Appliances Counters has their own service department, so you don't need to call 800 numbers. And isn't that magical? The Appliances Counters, where our savings are your savings, and coming soon to Concord Plaza on South Lindbergh. So much on the program today. Cam Jansen is going to be with us on the weekend that was the Winter Classic alumni game, and of course, yesterday at Busch Stadium. My focus really was going to be on the Winter Classic and college football. But so much is going on right now with both the MLS stadium story and Eric Greitens saying things that are causing problems for the MLS effort in St. Louis. And then this morning at 11 a.m. and something that hasn't gotten as much attention, leaders in St. Louis are going to get together to discuss renovations to the Scott Trade Center. This is something I don't... Fox 2 has been reporting it, and I'm reading from Fox 2's website. St. Louis city leaders will meet with Blues executives to discuss plans to renovate Scott Trade Center. Aldermen will consider a plan to fund $160 million in renovations through city bonds with no state funding. Probably an important prepositional phrase since November. Among the proposed upgrades are a bigger scoreboard, revamped seating, and remodeled locker rooms. In attendance will be Mayor Slay, Aldermanic President Lewis Reed, Blues Chairman Tom Stillman, and then Frank Viverito, President of the St. Louis Sports Commission, also is going to be there. So that is taking place at 11 a.m. How does this tie in to what is going on with the MLS? Is it related in any capacity? Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch is going to be with us both on Eric Greitens' comments regarding the MLS and this meeting this morning. As many people, including Kelly Chase, when we asked him about Taylor Twellman's comments a couple weeks ago that an MLS team could cause some harm to the Blues, and he said, first off, we really haven't even talked about an MLS team, and secondly, if there is going to be dollars allocated in the area, how about allocating at least enough of them to the Blues to take care of them before going out and getting an MLS team? And so, I'm sure the timing isn't coincidental, the day after one of the greatest days in the Blues organization, they're having a meeting at 11 o'clock. Ah, yes. The puppet strings.
Mm. But that is leverage. You walk in, if you're Stillman, you're like, oh yeah, hi.
Absolutely. It is a well-played hand.
Yes.
It is an absolutely well-played hand. So we'll talk about that with Mike Falk and then Bernie Federko, who was on the ice, Doug.
Scored.
And scored a goal at 9:30. He will be with us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Cam Jansen, Mike Falk, Bernie Federko, your texts, your calls. And I can't believe that Nick Saban is going to let Lane Kiffin walk out the door.
Okay.
That's 6 days before his team takes the field in the national championship game.
Come on, he'll run his own offense.
What'd you say? Offense? Yeah. Like you're a pucker?
He'll run his own offense.
So that's also on the itinerary. Okay. Yesterday, I saw so many people saying on the Twitter tweets that it exceeded their expectations. Isn't that a great thing? Mm-hmm. I think we had that the previous weekend with a couple of games, and I can't recall either. Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean anything locally, but the Steelers-Ravens game had a lot of buildup, and it lived up to it. And the Warriors and the Cavs on Christmas Day, of course, had a lot of buildup from the NBA Finals and the 3-1 debacle, and it lived up to it. Very rarely does that happen, but when it came to the Winter Classic, both, it seems, from the fans' perspective and the players' perspective, it not only lived up to, but exceeded expectations.
I have buyer's remorse for not going. You know, when I'm off, I try to hang with my kid, and I thought, what if it's bad weather? What if the seating isn't great? You know, it's a long day. And so we watch it on TV, and we had friends that went, and they said it was unbelievable. And the player said the ice was great. You know, everything, it seemed like it had the mix where it could go wrong. You had the weather. Is the ice going to be okay? And all of a sudden, the Blues are down 1-0 in the early going. But the weather held off. And not only did you get a great performance by Jake Allen, but your star player played like a star player. And everyone that I know that went said it was unbelievable.
Yeah. If that wasn't a statement on the strength of the fan base for the Blues, I don't know what was, because the tickets were really expensive. Some were like $300 and $400, and they were just packed to the rafters. I didn't see an empty seat.
So you went?
Yeah, it's cold and it was rainy. It was pretty miserable yesterday, early on, through the first period at least.
You're miserable.
And everybody was there. Nobody backed out. Nobody was at no show. Stayed undercover. They were all out there and just having the time of their lives.
And not just that, the alumni game had a great crowd, and people loved that too. It seemed there was just as much enthusiasm.
And Kelly Chase outplayed Wayne Gretzky.
Yes, he did.
I like that Wayne went out there with a knit cap, and he's like, I'm Wayne Gretzky. No one's going to dare lay a finger on me.
Yesterday, before the game, they're confiscating umbrellas as you enter the stadium. Even the media wouldn't let anybody have an umbrella. So I'm looking around to see if mine was the only umbrella that was taken. And no, sure enough, I look down on the plane surface, and they're before the game, they're interviewing the commissioner. He's got no umbrella. He's getting rained on. They're interviewing other people. Quinville, he's getting poured down. And there's Gretzky being interviewed. Huge umbrella. Wayne Gretzky, the only one in the building with
an
umbrella.
That's great. Well, I mean, like you said, exceeding expectations. Who would have thought that? It had the makings of what, you know, they said, by the way, It will be an official game if they play two periods. They made that announcement. I think Bob Costas did in the pregame show, and I was like, uh-oh, because that would have been bad. But the weather held up, and how about the player said the ice was really good, so it didn't impact the game in a negative way at all.
A lot to go to from yesterday's fun and games at the Scott Trade Center, at Busch Stadium, as opposed to the Scott Trade Center. And let's start with this, Coach Ken Hitchcock. Discussing the atmosphere yesterday.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
You can't help but look around, and it's just almost overwhelming to look around. And I think the thing that's really interesting is the feel I got from a baseball standpoint is I could hear what everybody was saying to us as we were coming on and off the ice. And it'd be really interesting if you didn't have a good baseball team here. but it's an amazing atmosphere because the people are right there with you, and we're muffled because of the glass around the boards. We go down a tunnel, we come out of a tunnel, but man, the atmosphere when you're walking onto the stage or you're coming off in between periods, it's amazing how engaged the fans are and how supportive they are and how much they want you to do well. But I think for our players, that was a great experience to feel like you were a player of another sport, because it's what happens in football. It's what happens in baseball. And it was very unique for me to walk and actually see faces, and people are like 6 feet away from you, encouraging you.
And one of the best pictures from yesterday, and there are a lot of good ones. It's almost take your pick. But is Tarasenko shooting a selfie at the top of the Cardinal dugout steps with a bunch of fans behind him after he has the kind of performance he had. Here is Tarasenko unranking this moment in what has already been an outstanding career.
I don't think you can rank this moment. It's like just different. You know, it's a different experience what we maybe have once in a lifetime, and there is no way to rank it. It's just stay separate, really cool, and you know, we was really happy to win tonight, especially make all our Blues fans happy. And this is probably the most best feeling when you win the game and now you can go and hang out with the families. And thanks, fans, for support. And it was really good.
Vladimir Tarasenko on the win. And I'm sure, of course, it was added to that it wasn't some, you know, I mean, the first couple periods, it wasn't exactly the most fascinating play. It probably was just the atmosphere that added to it. But then 10 minutes left in the game and it's a 1-1 game. And what, you know, hey, as thrilling as the atmosphere is, this is a critical game for two teams that are battling and two teams that did battle 7 months ago in the postseason. And the Blues get two quick goals to add to the crescendo and then the empty netter to wrap it up 4-1 the final. If you were there, please share your thoughts, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. Save the number in your phone, and you can text in or call in on those numbers. Here is what Blues captain Alex Pietrangelo said about being a part of yesterday's Winter Classic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously being the captain, being able to have the first Winter Classic is a huge honor. I mean, it's, you know, I speak for these guys and everybody else. I mean, I think the first real awe was yesterday in practice. Having our family on the bench and the family skate after was pretty cool. And we're lucky we had that. Kind of got the emotional side out of the way. And, you know, when the game got going, it just pretty much felt like a normal game for us, I think. Obviously a little bit different, but you get so into the game, you're playing against, you know, our biggest rival, you just business as usual. But I think after the game, when you stop and take a look, we salute the crowd. It's, you know, I don't know with these guys, but it's probably the coolest thing I've been a part of.
Yeah, that's something coming from these guys, you know. And Pietrangelo wasn't the first one and the only one to say that. You had a number of people. Brett Hull said it was one of the greatest weekends of his life on Twitter and had a picture of him and his dad, who, of course, dropped the ceremonial opening puck. That was super cool as well. Your thoughts, your experience, please, 855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is the BP Credit Cards 7 o'clock hour. BP Credit Cards, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. For a limited time, open a new BP credit card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase within 60 days of opening a new BP credit card account. Subject to credit approval, see station for details. Offer valid through January 31st, 2017. Cam Jansen and Bernie Federico are going to join us on the Winter Classic weekend. Looking forward to that, of course. And then Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch, he is the reporter covering both the MLS stadium story and then this meeting that St. Louis leaders are having with the Blues regarding Scott trade funding, $160 million, not requiring state funding. An important note, considering what is going on right now with Eric Greitens and his statements. And that meeting is taking place at 11 a.m. Doug, you were there. What stood out to you most, if there was a moment for you?
I found myself, when it was over, wishing, why don't we just keep this up for a couple days? And they got a game Thursday night at Scott Trade. Why don't we just play that here? That would be fun. Give more people a chance to come out for a night game and do this. I was kind of sad to see him take everything down. Sad that it's just a one-shot deal. Maybe that's what makes it special, and it wouldn't work if you try to do it two nights. But that was my thought when they were wrapping it up.
It seemed like it was all Blues. Like, usually there's a ton of Blackhawks fans. Yeah, was it more Blues?
Oh, it was 98, 99% Blues. Yeah, they did not sell a lot of those tickets to Blackhawk fans, for sure. There was just spattering, you know, a smattering. There was a few.
A lot less than if it's a normal game at Scott Trade. There's a lot of Blackhawks.
Oh, absolutely.
It's 20 to 30% Blackhawk fans. That's awesome. There was very few Blackhawk sweaters that
I saw. They can't afford the high dollar tickets.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Doug, the listeners want to get involved talking Winter Classic here, and Mike is on the appliances. He's the first caller of 2017. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it's fun. Hello, Mikey.
That'll be a trivia question from Buck Swope in 8 months.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. Morning. How are you guys?
Oh, we're fine. You?
I'm good, thank you. Hey, so I was at the game. I had great seats up in right field, or the first baseline, actually, I'm sorry, but behind the goal. And, you know, one of the things I always thought about these outdoor games, you always see that afterwards the team lineup for a handshake seems to be. Like, they did at Toronto against Detroit the other day, and it looked like after the game the Blues were kind of almost getting that formation, but Corey Crawford sort of made a beeline for the exit and the rest of the Blackhawks followed. I was wondering if you guys knew, were they supposed to shake hands, or was that just kind of up to the team?
Thank you, Mike. I saw people discussing this, and it was noted that the Caps and Penguins played in 2011, and that, of course, is, at this moment, one of the best rivalries in the NHL, and they did not shake hands after the game, but it was pointed out that the Leafs and Wings played, of course, the day before, game that went to overtime, and they did shake hands. So
it also
Blues and Blackhawks did not shake hands.
It also could be in a moment like this, maybe the Blackhawks were like, let's just let the Blues have their moment with fans.
They may have just forgotten it. It's a regular season game. They may have thought, all right, game over, let's go back.
Well, the Hawks have played in these before.
Haven't won many.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're like 0-1-3.
I guess we can do some comparing and contrasting to see if they've shaken hands.
Okay. I don't think it was a game where they were upset with each other. There wasn't a lot of fighting or pushing. I bet it just ended and they were upset that they lost and one or two guys started to skate off and everybody else just followed them off the ice.
It's a good time to rant about sportsmanship in Chicago and the Cubs, too.
And maybe bring up the murder rate.
Have a little class, Chicago.
Take your losses in stride.
It could be, like you said, regular season game. Let the Blues have their moment with their fans. Maybe there was no ill will.
Yeah, that was about the last thing that I would be worried about, shaking hands at the end of that game.
From the Arnold Hoosier, who cares? From the King of All Filipinos, go back to the Blues Lounge. It's a non-issue. Plowhawk, you like that. Are you a Blues Lounge member?
Oh, God, yeah. I think it's one of my favorites, personal favorite. I like the TMA fan page, obviously, but the amount of entertainment per post, and it's not even the post. It could be, hey, Jake Allen's looking good, and then you see that there's 300 comments, and they just lose track of what the actual post is, and they just start commenting, and I'm on it for hours. Yeah, I love it.
Doug, are you in the Blues?
I'm not.
Doug, you would absolutely. You would get a lot of your hockeyisms.
You think I would.
From the lounge? Yes.
I was a little bit surprised at how well you could see from different parts of the stadium. I was kind of concerned that the rink is going to be so small compared to baseball, but you won't see much of it. That wasn't the case. You could
really
see it. Yeah, you could see.
That was my concern, and the weather.
I was surprised at how big the rink looked on the baseball field. It was a good size. Yeah, you could see. You could see.
And what'd you think of the entertainment, the meat sweats, the night sweats?
Was that the name of the band?
I never heard of them. No, I saw they were pretty good, though.
Charles Glenn Band was out there between one period, and they had that funky butt brass band play there for the alumni game. They played as the teams came on and off. Kelly Chase had a good line after the alumni game. He said, there for a while, it looked like a mannequin challenge. That's what hit me is, wow, these guys are slow. Holy smoke.
But you know what? Chaser played well. Yeah, I mean, he really played well. It pains me to say it.
I don't think they wanted to. Obviously, they could play a lot harder than they did. I guess they not only didn't want to get hurt, didn't want to show each other up, and didn't want to act like a hot dog out there. They could have gone a lot harder than they did, but it was still really entertaining.
You know what struck me? You talk about diehard Blue fans and hockey fans in general. They are a different breed. Like, we were talking about this when you guys were not here last week, but other sports have had old-timers games, okay? In baseball, they used to do it. I remember in the NBA, they used to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't that much interest. There's something different about hockey fans seeing royalty back, especially when you link it up to something like the Winter Classic, because there was just as much enthusiasm for that game, mm-hmm. I thought, as there was for the Winter Classic.
I don't think we'll ever see the likes of that again. When you consider who was on the ice there for the Blues between Gretzky and Hull and Guinness and
Chase,
Pronger and Brodeur and Chase and Oates. By my count, the Blues had 6 Hall of Famers and 3 more that will be Hall of Famers all on that roster. And to think they're all together there, one on the same ice, playing a game, that we won't see that again.
Big Walt dabbed a little after he got his goal. As I understood
wore the little Pavel jersey as a tribute.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And as I understood it, they were supposed to have mic'd up Big Walt. I think he was scheduled to wear a mic, and I was really, really looking forward to that because, as you know, he's a really funny guy. But they never went to him or it didn't work out.
Having Pang mic'd up was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. Because he'd be talking, John Kelly would ask him a question, and he'd go, whoa! Here he is.
I think John Kelly was setting him up a couple of times. It went to him right on an odd man rush. But were they a Butcher wearing a mic as well? Really great. It was just great to see.
Doug Butchie.
And for Durko getting a goal, how great is that? Doug, you want to hold him accountable at 9:30 when he's
on. He was one of the older guys out there. Maybe Bruce Affleck and Larry Patey, maybe. A year or two older than him. But at 60, it's not that easy to go out there, skate, and play a game.
Jamal Mares was skating around like he could still be playing.
Well,
and
he's
only
was
3 years retired. But you know who looked really good, who hasn't played in a while, is 77.
He really
Pierre
did.
Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah,
really
did. What's up, Turge?
Mm-hmm. 47 years old. Yeah, apparently he still coaches and skates quite a bit. Yeah, he looked good. Like I said, a lot of those guys could have played a lot better and a lot harder than they really did. It was just kind of a half-speed, all-star game type of mentality.
Doug, the fact that they did not invite Asa Tikkanen shows disrespect to the entire St. Louis community. Thanks. That's Dave with the cauliflower ear.
Sorry about the ear. I assume he was a wrestler.
Well, your thoughts on the Tikkanen?
Snub?
Well, there were probably a lot of guys who felt snubbed. They only had so many spots to play, and I'm sure there was a little politics involved and who was on the in and who wasn't.
I'm not
Meanwhile,
saying
some of the Blackhawks could have been in a search party, and I didn't know
who they were.
So I'm watching it with Tyler, and Tyler's like, well, who's this guy? And you're talking about the Blues, and you can go on and on about what they've accomplished. And when they did the Blackhawks, I was like, he played for 2 years with
wouldn't
the Blackhawks.
Wouldn't you think they all would have loved to have done that? Some of the guys in their 40s and 50s.
Well, I think the Blackhawks have done a number of these that it isn't as big of a deal. And of course it is in Chicago. That's the only thing I can figure because, you know, they have a storied organization. So it was a little surprising.
Yeah. It's a $100 flight from Chicago and back and a night in a hotel and a night of drinking with your friends. I would think that they would jump on that if you get a chance to be in one of those games.
Doug, I'll be Vladimir Tarasenko. You be the Blackhawks goal. I will penetrate you multiple times and then take
that?
A selfie in victory.
No, sir. Who was that?
Jefferson Barracks Barney.
He's new. Jefferson Barracks Barney has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule, and I'm writing his name down with my Wright Business Products pen, or I would if someone hadn't stolen
what?
6 of my Wright Business Products
pen. Oh, my God.
Here's the handsome velvet pouch they came in. All of them gone. Gone, gone, gone.
There was one survivor. Last week, there was one pen that survived. And it has his name on it. Mm-hmm. It says Doug Vaughn's pen.
In the new studios, I think we just have to set up surveillance. I think at this point, we just have to set up surveillance. I don't think we have any alternative. You are welcome to get involved. 855-CUB-TALK. That's how you can call in. That's how you can text in. And also email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We're giving away a gift certificate to the Pasta House for our email of the day. And, of course, for text of the day, a free roast beef sandwich at Lion's Choice. This radio program, Doug, is going to be on the road again this Friday at Billy G's. How about that? Mm. A little listener brunch at Billy G's. Come on by and enjoy delicious treats at Billy G's. That's where we're going to be broadcasting on Friday. And then we have TMA Live. TMA Live a week from Thursday. And that's going to be at the Hot Shots on Dorset. And we welcome all of our listeners to come out and enjoy and watch this radio show and what goes into it.
Not much. Okay. Yeah, that'll be fun to come out and watch it live.
Watch this radio show live and see what the word is. That's at Hot Shots on Dorset. Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grills. Proud to be partners of the St. Louis Blues once again this season. We have many incredible events planned for Blues fans at all their locations. Come by and new Hot Shots every Tuesday for their Tuesday night hockey night Blues ticket giveaways. Pull up a front row seat and watch all the Blues action at Hot Shots and enjoy awesome Blues specials, a shot at great prizes, and free high fives for every goal. During each party, Hot Shots customers can enter to win a pair of Blues tickets, plaza level tickets to be given away at the conclusion of the game. It's Blues Tuesday night events at Hot Shots. The next one is Tuesday, January 10th at Hot Shots in Webster Groves. And then two nights later, Hot Shots in Dorset is where we will be for the TMA Live broadcast. Guys, why didn't the Blackhawks shake hands?
No.
Why wasn't the wave started? The fireworks smoke made it where people couldn't see. That's from Painter Guy pretending to be a Blues lounger.
They did have a lot of fireworks there at the outset.
You like that?
Sure, it was fun. A little smoky there for a while.
Now, did you have a beer or two?
I was working.
Oh.
Well, you I was mean, in the press bar. I was working.
What'd you
Are
do?
You kidding me?
What were you doing up there watching the game?
I was studying.
Taking
I was
copious
studying.
Copious notes?
Yes. I took copious notes. I wrote down key plays. And then afterwards in the media, in the locker room and in the interview room, I listened.
Nice.
And then I went back and I edited some of it together.
Lady journalism is a sleepless lover.
Why didn't you go to the Blackhawks side and hold them accountable for not shaking hands?
Well, I didn't care. I didn't care about that. I guess that's the best hockey event that we've ever had in St. Louis over 50 years. We've had a Stanley Cup Finals here. Maybe most people would have forgotten those or weren't born at the time they were going on. But that's going to be an event that'll be awfully difficult to beat, anything short of a Stanley Cup Championship. I just wish they could play more.
Aren't they leaving the ice up so that fans can go and skate?
I think so. I think they have a little public skating session or two That's here nice. In the next couple days.
Because I don't know if you guys were around for that, but they had that little rink set up under the arch that it's a piece of plastic and it's not really
that.
Ice. So now folks can skate on real ice. Yeah. That is nice.
Skate, boys, skate. Here's Robbie Fabry on Tarasenko's performance and his experience at the Winter Classic.
Well, hello, Fabsy.
You know, I think the biggest thing is just get him the puck and let him do the rest. You know, he's been a great player. He's made me a better player this year, you know, playing with him quite a bit. And it's been a good week, great experience here. And, you know, we're happy to share this with all our family in this crowd. Yeah, it just shows, you know, how much the fans are into it and how much they're behind us. And, you know, it's a great experience for our families to come down. And it's their first times as well. And, you know, hopefully they enjoyed it.
That's Robbie Fabry on the experience of the Winter Classic and then also just getting the puck to Vladimir Tarasenko, who did take care of business and gave the Blues the win. Final score 4-1, and like I said, it's a thrilling experience and something that Blues fans will always remember, but it's a critical couple of points as well. There is a surging bunch up Minneapolis-St. Paul way, Doug.
Yeah.
Surging bunch.
Okay, don't say that. Blues are 6 points now behind the Hawks with two games in hand. I like to say in hand.
I do, too. I enjoy that. It's the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour. For a limited time, open a new BP credit card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase within 60 days of opening a new BP credit card account. Subject to credit approval. See station for details. Offer valid through January 31st, 2017. A lot of Winter Classic discussion on the program today. Cam Jansen with us at 8 o'clock. Mike Falk with us at 8:30 on the meeting between the Blues and city leaders. That's coming your way at 8:30. And then also on the MLS situation, Bernie Federko as well. This MLS situation was something that was going on what was really a national holiday yesterday, New Year's Day observed. So most people were off. And of course, throughout St. Louis, so much of the attention focused on what was going on at Busch Stadium. And even those who didn't go down there were watching the Winter Classic. But Mike Falk's timeline yesterday from this Eric Greitens press conference in Delwood really got things going for those observing what is going to take place with this MLS vote. Here is Eric Greitens on his thoughts on public funding for an MLS stadium.
I've completely ruled out state funding for stadiums. I do not support welfare for millionaires. And I look forward to meeting with the leaders of the MLS project to see if there's a way for them to bring private sector funding to bring a soccer team to the state of Missouri.
That is Eric Greitens, the governor-elect. Yesterday, this statement has caused some problems. Jim Cavanaugh, the St. Louis MLS Investor Group, SCSTL vice chairman, said Monday Greitens' comments were, quote, disappointing considering that he doesn't understand our business proposal and potential return on investment for the state. The spokesperson for the mayor said that we've remained committed to working with SCSTL to develop a financing plan that makes sense for the city of St. Louis and includes a vote of the people. Having said that, the state of Missouri and Governor-elect Greitens are critical. It will be tough to get this done without the state's support. And then the 6th Ward Alderman, Christine Ingracia, said to Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch, who will join us in about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, I was hoping to get to the point where this proposal made sense for St. Louis, but I'm feeling that less and less. She said it is now doubtful that the proposal for a funding for the $80 million in city funding for a St. Louis MLS team called the proposal's future doubtful. That is from Christine Ingracia.
Either you fellas know whether or not he had taken any sort of stance on public funding prior to the election. I mean, if that's something he campaigned on or, you know.
I don't know that it came up or that it was much of an issue.
It's surprising because folks knew that there was going to be this push. I was wondering if someone had asked him about it and he was, you know, clear about where he stood on this ahead of time. I don't know.
I don't believe that came up. It's puzzling to me, and I know there was an article in the Post about it over the weekend, how the Dome is just completely out as an MLS facility. I don't think they should dismiss that quickly. The big problem was grass, and they did play a soccer game in there once with grass, and you move the trays in and out. Is that not a cheaper alternative? We've got a big stadium right there sitting empty most days, and now we want to spend $100 million more or $200 million more on another stadium. Is it just impossible to turn that Dome into a soccer stadium?
I mean, you have to have the MLS.
The MLS has to be on board. The MLS wants grass stadiums. The MLS wants soccer-specific buildings. They don't want empty, cavernous 65,000-foot.
Yeah. That would be a soccer-specific stadium if there's no other tenant. It just seems like maybe you could convert that at a cheaper price, and maybe that would be a better use of taxpayer money.
But if the MLS says we want soccer-specific stadiums, we want outdoor venues, you have to get a partner in this. You know, they have to agree.
Right. I know. If they really want this market, and I think that they do, and maybe we could put more than 25,000 people into a lot of soccer games. Maybe we could put 45 or 50,000 for soccer games, and they make an exception for a town and a market that they really want. This seems like it's worth exploring anyway.
The MLS in San Antonio tweeting out yesterday that... this has always been a long game, so who knows, but it's a bit stunning. St. Louis might throw away a big opportunity. That's from the MLS effort in San Antonio, and they were celebrating as they watched Mike Falk's timeline, Mike Falk of the Post-Dispatch, covering this.
I would hope that there's some room for negotiation. There's always room for negotiation. I'm not talking about the Dome. I'm talking about with the governor and working out a financing package. Like I said, you know, generally speaking, I understand not wanting to give welfare to billionaires, but if this is something that you can prove will help the economy in St. Louis and will be a good thing for St. Louis, then I'm all for it.
Guys, it would cost more to remodel the dome than to start fresh. That's from the Hunchback of Vaughan Castle.
I don't know that you can say that as a blanket statement. Depends on how much you remodel it. Starting fresh, you know you're going to spend at least $200 million. You telling me you can't do any remodeling at all of that dome for less than $200 million?
I think you're asking the wrong guys.
We did some engineering and some work on irrigation.
I did schematics. That's all I can do. I mean, that's a big,
when you talk about
damn life-sapping building.
Yeah, it's not an option.
But it's there, and we're still paying for it. And you cut the roof off of that thing. I'll get up there with my circular saw, and I'll cut the roof off that thing and put grass down. It might be the only hope you got. It might be that or nothing. It's there. It's empty. We're still paying for it. It doesn't make any sense at all to try to renovate that thing to make it up to MLS standards as opposed to starting new and trying to get the state and the city and the county to all pay for it.
I'm not saying you can't look at it. I just have the feeling that no matter how you work the numbers, it doesn't come out where the MLS would say, yes, that's where we want our new team to play. I just have that feeling.
Well, the MLS wants soccer-specific buildings, yeah. And that's what they've been catering to. And there are other markets that want to be expansion cities. So St. Louis, if they don't show an interest in making this happen, as the commissioner, Garber, said a few weeks ago, then this will be a referendum on soccer in the marketplace.
Yeah, I doubt that the dome would work, but it works in Seattle. That's not a soccer-specific stadium. It works, and they pack 50 or 60,000 people in there for a soccer game. If we're such a rabid soccer market, maybe we need a bigger stadium for soccer than just 25,000.
Think 60 will do the trick?
60 would do the trick, but wouldn't you rather have 45 in there than 25?
I think there are legitimate concerns about that particular option that the MLS would have.
Oh, I don't doubt that there's concerns. There's concerns about the building a new one, too. It may be, well, you can't have a new one, so you get nothing. Or renovate what you have, and maybe it'll work if they really want to get in this market.
Maybe Tim should get involved. He's done wonders with this radio station. I think he can do the same.
Thanks, Tim.
No problem.
Tim is going to save soccer in St. Louis, and then he would really be a hero.
Mm-hmm. Doug, they should hire the same company they hired to knock down Crestwood Mall. Thanks. That's from the King of
Mall. It's taken forever to knock the place down. They've got half of Dillard's is down. They've been at it for like a year. I'll get in there with a bulldozer and a crane. I guarantee you that much.
What's going to go in there?
Kind of a mixed-use apartments, condos, is kind of a city. They're trying to create kind of a downtown Crestwood-type feel with the commercial and a little park and everything. It's a big area. It's a big plot of land.
So you can get like a condo and then places to eat right downstairs?
I think so.
That sounds like a real treat.
Yeah. But I don't know what in the world's taking them so long to
knock
it down.
Maybe they could do that with the dome. Half would be condos, the rest would be for MLS. You know, your soccer fans could live right there.
There's probably some that would. I don't know if they're saving every brick on this Crestwood Plaza, taking down brick by brick. Knock it down!
Doug, for someone who's been doing sports here for 30 years and more awards than you can shake a stick at, you sound flat-out ridiculous right now. Put a sock in it, you old queen. That's from Brandon in St. Charles.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to think that you've got a big, empty stadium and that you wouldn't want to use that. That is really stupid. To build a new stadium that we don't have money for.
Shut up, Doug.
How stupid is that?
Shut up, Doug.
All right, knock it off.
Doug, there was a big article in the Post-Dispatch on the stadium and how it won't work for soccer. Put on your spectacles and read it, you old coot.
I just referenced that. I believe before I even started talking, I referenced that article. I'm saying if you want to make something happen, I don't think it's totally out of the question to look at what you might be able to do with an empty stadium now.
People in St. Louis don't want soccer. Get over it, for Christ's sake.
That's yes, they do. They do want soccer.
Doug, have you thought about putting on your overalls and going to the dome and doing some measuring yourself, and maybe you lead the charge?
But I mean, is the place just going to sit there completely empty on weekends forever?
My point is that, yes, from our standpoint, it would be great if we could make use of this. The MLS is pretty clear that's not what they're looking for, and we have to woo, I say we collectively, St. Louis, has to woo them to award us this franchise.
I understand that, but the equation seems to be changing now that the governor is against it and they don't have any way to pay for this new outdoor soccer stadium. So maybe if we paid a little less for a renovation and maybe open it up and found, try to find a creative way to make it work, maybe that would save the effort. Maybe you won't need it. Maybe some knight in shining armor will come up and say, here's the $100 million you need to build this stadium. Good luck with that.
I'm just surprised that he's taking this line in such an absolute fashion out of the gate without having met with the investors on the project. That's that to me, from a strategic standpoint, boxes him in and can kill the project before it even gets to a point of going to the people. And that's, to me, odd. That's
especially if there's something in it for the state long term, if the state's going to get some tax money long term.
And I'm not, and that's not, for the record, it's not coming from a position of this absolutely must get approved and you know, all costs be damned. That's not my position. I'm just observing it as, to me, an odd line to take by Eric Greitens. I don't know why you would have an absolute without getting together with Jim Cavanaugh in particular and the other investors and see if there is a way to remedy it. And then you have Cavanaugh saying it's a shame he's saying this because he doesn't understand it. So that doesn't really reflect well from my standpoint. Let's see. This is Tom. Doug Tom is on the Appliances Center phone.
Yeah, hello, Tommy.
Hi there. I wanted to give credit to the Pink Sisters for the success of the hockey game yesterday.
Doug, who are the Pink Sisters?
I'm not sure.
They're an order of Catholic nuns who take prayer requests, and they spend their days in prayer. So when the Pope came to town in 99, they prayed for good weather, and the weather was wonderful. So last week when everybody was gloom and doom about the thunderstorms during the game, I went on their website and submitted a prayer request for good weather, and their prayers were heard. So I want to give them credit.
All right.
That sounds nice. Can you ask them to say a prayer for this radio show that we might say something that is worthwhile and almost entertaining?
I could do that. If anybody could do it, they could.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tommy.
Tom must think it's already 10 o'clock. Let's see. Stevie Nicks arrives at your houseboat with a copy of the number 15 Insanity Workout featuring Sean T. She looks heartbroken. Do you watch it with her?
Well, sure. You welcome Stevie Nicks in, yeah. Maybe she'll warble a little bit.
Who's that from, Tim?
That's a great question. That's Sir Ian McKellen's thirst for boy juice.
Because when you were not here and I was trying to read the texts... You know, I give you a lot of credit because they scroll and they're gone.
They're so quick. Right? Doug, they're so quick.
You have to catch them. So what happens is you see a good one, you're like, I'm going to read
one. That's like something you think of if you're on medication for the first time.
No, that is a good one, but then it's gone and you can't remember it and you can't scroll it back up. But he was sending in a lot of them. So
Sir Ian McKellen's thirst?
I apologize that I wasn't as quick as Tim to be able to read that.
Drink bleach, Tommy. Thanks, Brandon in St. Charles.
That is not nice.
This Brandon in St. Charles is really...
He's a hater.
You call into the show and you are immediately told to die.
Right. Drink bleach.
Oh!
We welcome the callers. Ours has always been the type of show where friends feel like they can drop in at any time.
This is Jared. You'll be happy to hear from him.
Oh, hello, Jersey.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hopefully, the texters don't rip on me just for making a simple phone call.
Oh, well, make it good, then. Make it good.
It's going to be really good. It's going to be one of the best calls you ever get. On this MLS thing, and I've talked to this with coworkers and friends and everything, and it just seems like I've never heard this been brought up. But as far as if it's obviously it's going to be a lot harder to get this done, and it may not get done. But wouldn't it be the most logical thing to do would be to maybe scale back on the $200 million stadium? I believe there are only two $200 million stadiums in the MLS, and that's New York and Kansas City. San Jose just opened up their stadium in 2015 for $100 million, and you can pull up pictures on there online. It looks pretty nice. Minnesota is set to open up their stadium in 2018, and it's $150 million. Don't you think they could probably come up with a pretty nice-looking stadium for much less than $200 million? And I haven't heard anyone bring that up. I haven't heard Mike Falk mention that. I haven't heard a reporter, anyone say anything like that. Isn't that crazy, or I don't know. What do you guys thought? That's all I had. Thanks.
No, I don't think it's crazy. I'm with him 100% on that. Design it in such a way that that you can afford it now, and if the team becomes real popular and there's a more demand for tickets and what you can sell, then build bigger as it goes, kind of what they've done at Faurot Field in Columbia. You can expand later as you get the money.
I love that. I think that's a great point to bring up. However, if you're competing against other cities vying for a franchise, they're going to look at the stadiums that are in the works and decide based on that, as well as whatever market they want to go into. So you're competing against other cities. You better have a pretty good stadium plan.
Well, all these other stadiums are competing against, they all have new $200 million stadiums.
If St. Louis drops the ball, so to speak, on this, then we'll see, you know, what other cities come up with. But I think that's something to think about. If you want this and you think it's the right thing for St. Louis, then you better come up with a really good stadium plan. Don't lose the bid if you can come up with the finances for it because your stadium is inadequate. That's all, I'm just saying that's another point to think about.
Yeah, but I'm with him on his base point that do you really have to have the latest and greatest stadium to attract a soccer team here, or will any kind of stadium bring a team to a town that is a big soccer city?
Hi, I'm Jared, and I take 45 seconds to get to the point. Choke on bleach Jolly Ranchers. That's some wheelhouse security guards.
Come on, Wheelie. He made a good point. Does it have to be the greatest or nothing? Is there no compromise in between? I think the MLS wants to be here. I don't think they're saying you better have the best stadium in the league or we're not looking at you. We'll go somewhere else. I don't think so anyway. I think they want to be here.
I don't know. I'm saying I think it's a valid point. Obviously, I'm not meeting with MLS officials, but if you're in the running with other cities, something to think about. I mean, you want to take a circular saw and drill a hole in the top of the dome and cart in a few squares of grass.
I want to renovate. That's what they did when they played the other game there. They had like 45,000 people at that game. I don't think you can just completely dismiss renovating the dome and making that your soccer home. It's there. We're paying for it. I think it's wasteful to say, no, we'll just have that sit empty on weekends forever.
Guys, this doesn't seem odd to me. This is a guy who has zero political experience and shoots automatic weapons in campaign commercials.
He's probably
a brilliant businessman. Yeah, thanks.
He does do
the
that.
The Crestwood Coyote.
That's why I was wondering. I agree it's strange that he's so hard and fast with his stance on this. If it was part of his campaigning that he was, or else why wouldn't you at least discuss first and see what the lay of the land is? That's why I thought.
Because he's boxing himself in.
But I thought maybe he had already boxed himself in during the campaign. I don't know. You know, like that's what, that would make it more understandable. If you said, I'm against this during the campaign, you can't, even before you take office, suddenly say, nah, that was just something I said on the campaign. That would make you seem kind of like someone else.
Doug, please tell me how to grow grass inside the dome. Grass is an MLS requirement. That's from the 636.
Well, they've done it before. They grow grass inside the dome at Arizona. They brought in grass on pallets when they played a soccer game here before. It's doable.
So
you have to keep doing it. The grass doesn't live very long.
I don't know if that's going to be a sustainable model, though.
No, but I don't know how many games they play. What, 10 home games or so? 10 or 11 home games? Even that would be cheaper than shelling out $200 million for a new stadium. It may not be sustainable forever, but if it's going to get you a team, you do what you have to do to get a team for now, just like the Rams played at Busch Stadium for a while. They didn't want to have to do that, but they did.
I could see at some point late in the season the St. Louis soccer team requesting that fans cut up their lawns to bring grass to the dome because they're running short. Please bring us squares of grass.
They've done this in not just here, but many stadiums when they had the World Cup here. That's what they did.
I think the question was, you can do it, you know, for a specific few amount. Is it sustainable? I don't know. Like I said, Doug, I'm not ruling out looking at it. I'm just saying to me it doesn't seem plausible. To me,
it may not be, and I don't think that's the ultimate answer either, but I'm saying if it comes down right now to getting a team or not, I think you do what you have to do to try to make it happen. And we got a big stadium sitting there now. It seems like you could get creative and make it happen.
But you do agree that it's not a question of can we throw something together and say we have a stadium. You have to woo the MLS with it, right?
You have to woo the MLS, but the MLS may very badly want to be in this market and say, okay, we'll make an exception. You got a big stadium there. This is a big soccer town. Okay. Get us a stadium in the future, but for the foreseeable future, play in the dome.
Guys, let's play in Tim's backyard. We can all stand inside with our pants down and play with our junk while we watch the cute boys run around.
I didn't like that.
Sincerely, who was the DePere River Dolphin?
We got all kinds of new
we have
listeners.
Dolphins of DePere?
No. DePere River Dolphin, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. I don't care if you're new.
I've been, you know, as a South City resident, I've seen a lot of the River DePere, and I've never seen a fin shooting around.
Saltwater fish, Tim.
Tim, you're missing the point. I think we were having a reasonable discussion on a serious sports topic, and perhaps that text had no place in the conversation.
All right, what about this one? The field in Arizona is on a track that rolls outside. Grass needs sun, you old buzzard.
What, do you think I don't know that? They've got a huge plot of land just to the north of the dome now.
Plowhawk, is there any way you can we can use your grow lights and we can just use that and take care of this thing?
That'd
really
be
expensive.
Quite the grow operation, and it would take a little bit more time than week to week getting every home game like that.
17 home games a year.
What about a plan where we do ask the fans to bring in big squares of their lawn, and
then they have
some skin in the game?
That won't work.
You get 50% off admission if you bring us 4 yards of your.
Bring your lawn to the game. Bring your lawn to the game.
And then patchwork it together. Community operation.
Well, you do what you have to do.
What kind of grass would you say is the best kind for MLS soccer?
I don't know. Maybe a Bermuda. I don't know that you could get zoysia to grow. Zoysia goes brown so quickly.
Doug, dolphins aren't mammals. Dolphins are mammals. Thanks, Bob, South City.
Okay, and they're not in the River DePere either.
You don't know
that. It's a fantasy show.
You don't know, Bob.
This is Jim on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, average. You?
Better than that. I just got back from two outstanding cities, San Antonio and Dallas, and they blow our city away.
Whoa.
Just wanted to mention that. The public transport system in Dallas is just incredible. I got from the airport to downtown
Hey!
You can't say that.
Put it down!
You can't say that.
No.
Put it down!
Thank you. All right, make the point, because you've already violated FCC rules here.
All right, I'm sorry. Tim, I'm a gigantic lemming of yours because you did your platform is the city stoplights, but I can't handle you saying odd versus ridiculously idiotically stupid of this. Was it Governor Elect or whatever? Is he a sponsor or something? What's going on with that?
How would the governor be a sponsor?
He's severely understating his stupidity. So I might have to be a Jimmy the Cat Lenning soon here. But the dome idea. Oh my God, they need to tear that thing down before Crestwood. It's going to be an outdoor, fresh grass stadium where it's not going to be anything. And I don't know if Santos can pull it off because we've got so many idiots around here.
Yeah. Okay, knock it off.
Glad I gave him a second chance.
I do have an update on what kind of grass. Now, it all depends on the season, obviously, and the temperature. I think for St. Louis, though, it looks like a Kentucky bluegrass or a perennial rye grass would choice
for. That's what most people have around here is bluegrass.
But for humid climates, such as like the Florida area, you might want to use a Bermuda grass.
Do you know that you also have to take into account the fact that you're constantly having to mow it and maybe put some sort of design in it, and some don't hold up with that kind of wear and tear as well. Doug, you know that.
They have field turf that's very similar to grass. Is it just impossible? You can't play on that? Because it's probably going to be that or we don't get a team.
But don't you understand? It's not just, hey, we got something.
Yes,
okay,
I
we
understand.
Got a team. It doesn't work that way.
I understand that. I'm telling you, we might not get a new stadium built. So is it just impossible to make the one we have work? That's all I'm saying.
Just real quick,
I know it's not exactly what they want.
Welcome a new sponsor to the program, Eric Greitens. a new sponsor of the program.
Doug. Nice to have his
When
money.
You want to win an election, make sure that you're shooting automatic weapons in your commercials. Mm-hmm. Great call, Jim. Hey, how about taking a bath with a plugged-in toaster? Thanks, the Oakville Creeper. If you call into this show, you are asked to pass away immediately.
I think we know we're not keeping up with Dallas.
Are you kidding
we
me?
We know that. It's a boom
look,
town.
You can be at the airport. You know what you do in St. Louis? You hop on the Metrolink and you're downtown. Boom. We're just as good as as Dallas and just as good as San Antonio.
Yeah. Doug, if we're able to grow grass in the dome, should we add decorative shrubs, and how would they be trimmed? Thanks, it's Barry Long.
No, they have shrubs down at Georgia, don't they?
Yeah, the hedges between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can do it there, we can do it here.
And you know what? San Antonio has that great river walk. We have a great river walk in St. Louis.
Yep, McDonald's boat.
We have a river.
The Becky Thatcher.
No, you can walk, really to walk.
You can walk along it.
You could walk along.
Yes, you may step down. We Sullivan are just Boulevard as good as San Antonio and Dallas.
It's not really the same. Their river's got the restaurants and shops and the hotels right along the river.
You ever
there?
Been to the old spaghetti factory?
Yep.
Well, All right, you may step down.
35 years.
You may step down. Jake Steak's still there?
Jake Steez.
I went there once. It was actually pretty good.
Guys, you can see dolphins on the Riverwalk. Thanks. That's from the three.
No, you can't. You can't. You cannot.
Look, in San Antonio, do they have an arch? No. Do they have a great skating rink where you can skate on a piece of plastic like we have? No.
Yeah.
I'm laying out a case that we're better than both Dallas.
Something else that I didn't really understand. I mean, I love the fact that we spent $300 million to redo the arch grounds in Keener Plaza, but those were two things that didn't really need fixing. With all the broken down buildings and neighborhoods we have in St. Louis, was that the right place to spend almost half a billion dollars to fix two things that already were pretty nice?
Boy, it seems like you're second guessing.
I am second
guessing.
Getting
out ahead of this legislation.
I mean, the new arch ground's going to look great, but it was okay, and we got lots of places that aren't okay. Let's fix what doesn't work.
Why don't you go to the city council one time and hold them accountable? Hindsight's 20/20, sir.
I don't know. I just get frustrated by how things do and don't get done sometimes in this town.
Give me an example.
Well, I just did. The arch was fine. It was okay. So was Keener Plaza. Keener Plaza was really nice. They ripped it up, and it's been closed for 2 years, and it's going to look kind of like it did before.
Guys, driving around South City, just saw a platypus in the River to Pear.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Marsupial?
That actually sounds like one.
That's my laugh, I think.
No, that's my laugh, which
that's
is
your
hideously
laugh?
Annoying. Hideously annoying. Doug, trim your shrubs, bro. Trim them. Real nice, like. I did a little shaving. Shaved me head this morning.
Did
lopsided
you?
As the day is long.
Yeah.
Left the beard, though.
Well, I shaved with clippers, but sometimes, like, during the holiday season, I'll get a nice smooth shave. Feel my skin. It's soft like yours.
I'm not going to.
Well, you can, because Harry's Razors makes it possible. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys, were fed up with getting ripped off. Started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet. Harry's offers their blades at half the price. Half the price! Just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. It's from Harry's. They're so confident. Harry's is so confident and the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, a special offer for fans of the show. Go to harrys.com right now and enter promo code INSIDESTL. Check out to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, code INSIDESTL. That closes out the BP credit. 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. In the 8 o'clock hour, Cam Jansen on the Winter Classic weekend that was, and Mike Falk on the MLS funding, Eric Greitens' comments, and this meeting between St. Louis leaders and the Blues on $160 million of funding to revamp Scott Trade Center that's taking place at 11 a.m. That's coming up at 8:30. At 9:30, Bernie Federico. Your emails, the morning after at InsideSTL.com for our new Hot Shots email of the day. Hot Shots, the sponsor of our email of the day here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn with you. This is the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.